Wake up, babe. New Epstein files dropped. We're going to go deep into the now infamous Epstein birthday book, from coded language and sex claims to connections with Trump, Clinton, Dershowitz, and even alleged nods to Aleister Crowley. Nothing is off limits. We're going to uncover the drawings of children, checks for selling girls, and the darkest secrets of the elite. If you dare to open your mind wide enough, the truth behind Epstein's twisted circle is revealed. Now, today is our September monthly bonus episode only for supporters. I'm going to walk you through the now infamous Epstein birthday book with a, of course, short statement on Charlie Kirk. I'll show you all the relevant information, coded language, not so secret claims, lots of sex, some friends names, like a guy who was in a rock band, jokes about human trafficking, essay, murder. It's murder, claims about intelligence agencies, and so many friends showed up. Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Alan Dershowitz, Jean-Luc Brunel, George Nader, and much more. If you're open your mind wide enough, I think I could have found a reference to Aleister Crowley. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about these multiple strange drawings of kids and boobs and checks for selling girls, Epstein being a groomer. His perversion was well known by everyone in this circle. And we're going to talk about this Donald Trump letter and drawing of the female, which I think reveals the darkest secrets of the elites. I have a theory on it. We're going to talk about it, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through this entire four-document drop. Only one is of noteworthiness. That's the first drop. That's the Epstein birthday book. But we're going to go through all of it. I'm going to through all the relevant pages, at least. And if you're on and this is hundreds of pages. I think in total, the four drops come out to like 400, 500 pages. I'm going to pull out the sort of relevant ones. I mean, according to me, right? You can fact check. You can double check and verify for yourself if you want, by all means. These are just the ones that I found of interest. Now, if you're on the Patreon or VIP section tier 2, you get the video version of the show, as you already know. And you're going to see images. I'll pull out the screenshots of the page that I'm referring to as I speak about them. Also, another reminder for Patreon and VIP section, folks. If you're tier 3 or 4, right? Check your email. I sent an email a couple weeks ago now about the new perk at the top tiers, 3 or 4. You get your very own exclusive shirt, unavailable to anyone else, only tier 3 members and tier 4 members. So check your email. Also, I fully realize the rapidity of the news cycle here, okay? Because the irony here is that the files dropped. I immediately started reading through them for this show. And since then, we've had, you know, alien disclosure and the assassination of one of the most famous political commentators on the planet currently, which, like I said, I'll give my short 2 cents on that as we go through this stuff. But as a plot spoiler, I didn't agree with Charlie Kirk on much of anything, but I did agree and I respected his usage of free speech. He was going around with this Turning Point USA outfit he started debating his ideas. And that's what free speech is all about. And he was doing it the right way. He's debating his ideas. I don't agree with his stances at all. But he was doing it the right way. And obviously didn't deserve to be, you know, murdered in front of, I don't know if his family was there or not. They're claiming they were. Regardless, like, absolute horrific, you know. It was one thing to hear about. It was another thing to see the video clip. I was like, bro. I mean, the gore and the violence of it is just, it makes me sick to my stomach. You know what I mean? Regardless of whether I agreed or disagreed, like, and that's what people don't get is, like, I can hold those two competing thoughts in my head. Most people can, right? I can dislike somebody, but also be like, well, damn, like, what the hell are we doing here? What is this? Right. But I'll discuss that more when we get there. Because that's not what this show is about. I made a new appearance as well. Little housekeeping, my 6th appearance on the Higher Side Chats. Check that out. It's almost 3 hours long, by the way. With the great Greg Carlwood. It's up on his YouTube with his cool new studio and so on. So if you like it, check out the show. Tell Greg you like my appearance, and maybe he'll have me back on when I get these books finished that I'm never able to start writing because there's so much that's happening. And if you want the link to that, you can go to my appearances and interviews post. You can find that on my link tree, allmylinks.com/IsaacW, link in the show notes as always. Okay. We're here to talk about Jeffrey Epstein and this mysterious book drop. And it starts with the 4 PDF drops that was done by the House Oversight Committees, who's trying to investigate and get to the bottom of the Epstein files, right? And request number one is the main document. That's the Epstein birthday book. That's the one we're primarily going to talk about today. And I'm going to go through page by page of exactly, you know, what I think is the most interesting parts of this, the juiciest, salaciousest bits, names, people, coded language. I think it's clear there's coded language. You know, if you remember the pizza emails from a while back, I think they're in here, and all kinds of stuff, right? So without further ado, let's just start. Page 14 shows a mansion that is, I guess, Epstein's mansion, and it's believed that maybe this is in the background of the crayon cartoon that we saw circulating on the news of Epstein grooming girls, and then when they're children in 1983, and then him basically messing around with them when they're in 2003. We'll get to that page later, much later. Now, pages 37 through 48 is a Seagate Chronicle, which is a parody newspaper someone created for Epstein. And I read on a person named Ann Mitchell's Facebook post that this is in reference to Seagate Brooklyn, which is where Epstein is from. And if you read through, it's just a bunch of nonsensical stories about a boy being forced to play the squeeze box and someone spraying an unknown yellow liquid into people's laundry and weird stuff like that. Pranks and pranks. And it's like strange, right? It's really weird. But, you know, it also made me think of the infamous sort of Russian pee tape theory and all that stuff. One particular article is called Dirt Brothers Arrested, and it has some names redacted in it, which is kind of weird, right? Because this is a bunch of nonsensical parody stuff. Why did they redact names from a fake parody newspaper? And there's so many articles. It goes on and on and on. I'm like, why? Who takes the time to do all this? It's not even funny. And it's so it's all clearly inside jokes. Again, coded language about things that, I mean, have to be sexual related based on everything else you'll will find in this book. Like, for instance, one is called Math Teacher is Hung. All right, Epstein was a math teacher, ironically had a small egg-shaped penis, allegedly. But the story is about literally hanging a math teacher. But it's a double entendre, right, for well hung. Then there's another article called Hot Rides in the Gate, which also has names redacted. It's about some car show, and the section that's redacted in this sort of parody article refers to someone, redacted name, that had a 1970, quote, rock me baby carriage Volkswagen convertible. What are they talking about? Was that some Volkswagen variant that I'm unaware of? I mean, that's weird. In the book itself, there's a section for dining, which actually, you know, makes me think of the pizza stuff, but there's nothing. The language isn't quite as strange as the pizza emails where, you know, Podesta was asking for 1,000 hot dogs in a hot tub or whatever it was, you know, or walnut sauce handkerchiefs and maps to whatever. There's also a personal section in this parody newspaper that says horny Seagate girls, also heavily redacted. There's an ad in this parody paper for swingles, and it says, if you're wild and crazy and want it bad, you're invited to Botany Talk House. If you're lucky to be selected to attend one of New York's most uninhibited orgies. Which, of course, made me think of the most iconic New York orgies of all time, depicted in Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut, again, of the political elites. And a story that, it, as I've been talking about for years, coded with trafficking of children. Then we go to, now we're already on page 49. My throat is jacked up yet again today. I live in Utah, which has the some of the most polluted air on the planet. We've got arsenic because the Great Salt Lake's drying up, and it's just, it's a great time right now. I can't even drink. I got a drinking problem. Okay. I'm trying to keep my whistle wet for you guys. Page 49, we've got ID cards for a couple of his friends, Warren Eisenstein and Terry Kafka. Now, if you look up, I found on MJR.news, it says that Epstein had loaned money to his childhood friend, Warren Eisenstein, to buy stocks, and that's why he was allegedly fired from Bear Stearns. But something odd, this Dr. Warren Eisenstein, who's from Seagate, Brooklyn, there's an obituary from 2014, when he died, and it says this. I don't know if it's the same one. It's got to be. But anyway, I know it's the same one. Yeah, as we'll get into. It says this. Dr. Warren Eisenstein of Richardson, Texas, passed away February 27th, 2014, at the age of 61. Born April 25th, 1952, in Brooklyn, New York, parents Lenny and Rivka Eisenstein, Warren was and always will be a true New Yorker, or more specifically, a true Seagater. Warren had a passion for food, wine, travel, music, and his friends and his patients. No one could cook a meal, play the blues, or perform an eye exam like he could. Warren left Brooklyn at the age of 19 to join the rock band in Topeka that would eventually become the group Kansas. He left the group making good on a promise to his parents that he would pursue music for just 1 year, then continue his education. He is survived by his loving wife, Linda Eisenstein, brother Benjamin of Long Island, and his lifelong friends and soulmates, Dr. Michael Buchholz, Jeffrey Epstein, Terry Kafka of Dallas. So, I guess he was in the rock band Kansas, you know, Dust in the Wind, Carry On My Wayward Son. That's strange. And who is Terry Kafka? Because now his name is in there multiple times. Well, he was friends in high school with Epstein. Goes by the name Johnny Boy. And he had a son, Philip Kafka, who became a Detroit developer. Supposedly when Philip was 19, he was tutored by Epstein. That's per Detroit1million.com. And Terry is in these underwear photos. He's got white boxers on. He's standing next to Epstein. And, I mean, what looks like Ari Fleischer. I don't know if that's really him. A Twitter user, More Sense Please, claims that there's a letter from Kafka to Epstein that says, quote, "You began to realize that you could get away with that, S-H-I-T, that chicks and people in general were schmucks. You sensed that you were sharper and more astute than most, especially the ones who had money, women, money, position, and power." So then we move on to page 57. And after the underwear photo, there's a short writing we need to discuss. It's called "Girls on My Boat." And it goes a little something like this. "We picked up girls on beach, went out on boat. I tell them with knife in my hand to take suits off. But Warren tells, don't worry, his name is JN. He's just joking. He live at so-and-so. I tell Mark to throw him into the water. He did." What are we talking about? Who the F is JN? That's the initials, JN. Is it Jack Nicholson? I don't know. I don't know any other JNs. Why is he threatening them with a knife? Why is someone writing all this down and putting it in the birthday book? What is happening? We don't know. Page 60, a writing titled "Concord Hotel," and it says this. "Jewish singles weekend, sit us down at table with ugly girls, and I told them, don't you have any pretty ones? We get in room, Jack says, don't touch my hair, you dump water right on his head, then we set room on fire. Throwing food in dining room, no one would serve us, so they put us by kitchen. Gave us all our money back and told us to leave and never come back. The Concord Hotel is described in an article." Oh, and by the way, 2 points. One, I'm using a teleprompter system because I have to like script out and I want to talk right to you instead of looking down constantly and looking back up for the video people. So sometimes I get a little confused as to where the quote ends. Like I forgot to put an end quote on that. Second, the book itself has a lot of weird cursive and it's hard to read. So sometimes when I'm reading choppy things, it's because I couldn't make out a word here or there. Okay. So anyway, the Concord Hotel, I was researching that. I'd never heard of it. It's described in an article on Times of Israel, of all places, as a Catskill resort, the epitomized mid-century blue and white leisure. Then we go to page 61. A redacted name is inserted into the title here. Again, no clue what it is because it's redacted. It says, "Two very young girls, probably just 17, and were riding in my father's caddy, Park Avenue, top down, smooching it up in the car, drop dead laughing." Who? What? 17? I mean, what are we talking about? And this is the recurring theme, is that all of his friends and partners and family and everyone else, not family, but everyone involved here in the birthday book knew this dude was a perv. To the point of talking about 17-year-old girls and then drawings of little children that he's grooming. It's very strange. Page 61, the Ocean Reef trip. Start off, you get speeding ticket. You're with, name redacted, and her mother's looking at me like I'm a box of candy shoving food the whole time down my throat. The boat ride in, redacted, birthday present boat. So these are redacted names, and they can't be protected minors. That was the thing they were talking about. Oh, we got to redact these protected minors, which, okay, I'm fine with that. But why would a child buy a boat for someone? How? I think these are the names of the elites. That's not a stretch. I mean, that's got to be what it is, right? Page 62. Again, redacted, the rabbi's daughter. Which, that could be the victim, right? Jeff would call the house rabbi's illegible word and say this is redacted's father. I would bring her up to your mother's house and make her take her top off so we could touch her boobs. Her and redacted would play together with toys. Now, in the Times of Israel news article, it describes this as a prank where Epstein was impersonating a rabbi to lure this daughter close in order to touch her boobs. That's SA, okay? Page 63, Kafka writes vulgar letter to Epstein about sex. One particular line is quite alarming, this Kafka guy, right? We stayed on Corfu for 2 weeks or so. Never got to London because of that. Corfu was great on the budget, and I remember it being great sleeping on the beach with kids from all over the world. Matt and redacted, too. And those two girls from Cleveland. And then if you're like, well, I mean, what is he talking about there? Later on, he talks about a boy named Philly who's a, quote, good-looking 16-year-old. They're talking about minors. Page 65. Someone named Michael writes a letter to Epstein, talks about these stories of chronic UTIs, prostate massages, and orgies. And then later in the book, I mean, you don't know who these names are. Later in the book, there's a guy named Michael Rakoff listed as a class leader for best athlete with Epstein. No clue if that's the same one. I'm just telling you that that's the only other Michael that I sort of noticed. Page 79, a letter from Warren Eisenstein says, to Jeff's woman, roses are red, violets are blue. Your hair is like gold. I wish mine were too. I'd hate to see what I'd look like. Yours darkly, Warren Eisenstein. Yours darkly? What kind of weird, nefarious stuff are we into here? And the hair, right? Obviously, I would assume that's a reference to pubic hair, basically. I think. My theory, right? And there's multiple pages of music notes throughout this book for the song, for the same song over and over from 1937. It's called They Can't Take That Away From Me by George Gershwin. And if you look that up, the lyrics are just like, you know, thinking about someone. But there's a couple weird lines, and it goes a little something like this. The weird lines are, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, which will kind of make sense later. Page 98, photo of Epstein with a redacted woman's face and caption, and it says, he is the boyfriend of redacted. We think he works for the CIA. Again, we're not shaking loose these theories about Epstein being involved with intelligence agencies, right? Page 100, it's a photo of Epstein buying something at an Asian market, looks like a pharmacy, and someone wrote, are you sure this will make my winky grow? Again, the idea that his friends were all joking very sexually with him, which, again, not illegal, right? Like, I make sexual jokes as well. But given his particular circumstances, that's alarming. And the same page has a photo of him in a bathtub, and it says, waiting for my foot massage, which we all know that he was grooming underage girls through massages and so on. Page 108, and the new section here is titled Children, which... Okay. Page 109, there's some weird story written by a child talking about Uncle F. I can't make sense of it. No idea what they're talking about. It's weird and it's creepy because it's a child that wrote this. Page 112, photos of a young girl with a redacted face. Looks like a child to me. Page 112, 113. Then we move on to a new section already called Friends. Page 115, photos of Epstein and a friend with a knife and gun and face masks like they're about to rob someone. All right. Page 117, there's a photo of Epstein and friends. It looks like Ed Harris. But below it says this. I got to pull up the image here. Hang on one second here. I told you I got a teleprompter and, you know, things are a little quirky for me still. Oh, okay. Let me go back. I totally missed it because what I did was I screenshot some paragraphs because I got tired of typing them. Okay. Going back to page 115, the photo of, I almost forgot the biggest one, Epstein and his friend, and they're both holding a knife and a gun with face masks. This is what it says on that that page. It says this. Finally, at the home of our friend, let's call him Mr. Brown, Jeffrey unveiled his plan. To some, it may have seemed a get-rich-quick scheme, but to me, it was pure genius. Rob and kill was the name of the plan. The first victim, redacted, to be attacked and brutally plundered. Would she want more than that? On the boardwalk in Venice Beach, broad daylight. The dastardly thieves were never caught. Postscript. I retired from the life, but I recently read an article in New York which led me to believe that my old friend Mr. E had continued on and become an industry leader. Are we talking about assaulting, murdering, and robbing a woman on the beach and that the one guy stopped? Wait, what's his name? I don't know the name of the friend. Left the life with Mr. E. Is that Mr. Epstein is still doing this stuff? I don't know. Then we go on to page 117, and this is the photo of Epstein and what a guy that looks like Ed Harris. I don't think it's him, but it looks like him. And it says this. Then things began to change. I think it was shortly after he encouraged Morgan to say wolf on the phone to me, and I noticed the beginning. And then while his friends were willing to either go blissfully ahead, eyes closed, trusting in the Almighty, Jeffrey began to get that look in his eye. He was cooking up something. Something either evil or at least deadly. I always hoped he wasn't spurred to action by my action, the unforgivable immortal sin of getting married. So that's a sin now, I guess. I don't know. Weird excerpts, weird writings to be found here, okay? Page 124. Jean-Luc Brunel sent Epstein a bunch of equations, and the top says 10 is the most beautiful number. Do not rush to be 100 years old. It contains the first four integers. Okay, 10, the number of completion, if we go to 10, Twin Peaks. 10, also the number of Sephiroth on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. It embodies the creation of the world through the Kabbalistic leanings. If you are into that, you know, this Jewish mysticism. Was Epstein into that? Maybe. Maybe that's what that's referring to. And then the page, it's scribbled so hard, but what I see is something that says 496, perfect number. Okay. And it says, I wish you every new day happier than every old happy days, your friend Jean-Luc. Now, 496 is what they call a perfect number. It's a rare integer for integer where the sum of its divisors equals the number. So 1 plus 2 plus 4 plus 8 plus 16 plus 31 plus 62 plus 124 plus 248 equals 496. All right. It's like you keep dividing it by two, and that's how you get those. Now, Jean-Luc Brunel, if you recall, he was the MC2 modeling guy who was arrested on SA charges in 2020, also killed himself in prison. And speaking of hit list, page 126, Bill Clinton shows up. It says this, happy 50th. It's reassuring, isn't it, to have lasted as long across all the years of learning and knowing, adventures, and illegible word there. And also to have your childlike curiosity, the drive to make a difference, and the solace of friends, Bill Clinton. Now, the creepiest part of this is the childlike curiosity thing. What are we talking about, Bill? And Bill comes in later on as well. Page 127. Alan Dershowitz says he obtained an early version of an article from Vanity Unfair that he talked them into changing the focus from you to Bill Clinton. And we see this cover of this Vanity Unfair, and it's a joke, right? It's a parody on Vanity Fair. And he pasted in Jeffrey Epstein's name on a bunch of articles on the cover. But what's alarming is the top article on this parody cover says, Jack the Ripper, was it Jeffrey Epstein? And we just saw the image of him with the, he's holding what it looks like a gun and his friend's holding a knife. And there's all these subtle references to like him murdering people. I'm like, bro, is this guy like an assassin? Is he a killer? Another article says Al-Qaeda in South America financed by Epstein. Bring it on, Jeffrey. Consume me, Jeffrey. Intoxicate me, Jeffrey. Nicole Kidman bears her soul. Now, that brings up all kinds of questions, too, right? Her father is alleged to be involved in MKUltra experiments. Nicole Kidman, of course, in Eyes Wide Shut. And Vanity Fair, also a curious choice, because back in that same year, 2003, Vicki Ward was writing an expose on Epstein for Vanity Fair, if you recall. And she interviewed a bunch of women who accused Epstein of doing stuff to them when they were underage. But the editor, Graydon Carter, allegedly pulled the stories from the article before it published. And then Vicki Ward later said that Epstein himself tried to intimidate her. In 2019, after Epstein got arrested, Vanity Fair finally publishes a new story admitting to what had actually happened. Now, Alan Dershowitz, he was Epstein's lawyer, right? Remember, he coordinated the sweetheart deal through Alex Acosta, 2006 to 2008 timeframe. Also, Donald's lawyer. And Wikipedia has something interesting that I hadn't heard before. I'm going to read it to you. After the trial, Dershowitz used his ties with the Trump administration to lobby it to give clemency to his various other clients. He played a role in at least 12 clemency grants, as well as the unsuccessfully lobbying the administration to commute the 10-year sentence of George Nader, who had pled guilty to child CP, right? You know what I'm saying? And sex trafficking. I said, George Nader, like the independent politician? No, a different guy. And he's got quite the story. He's involved with a lot of things, okay? His Wikipedia page shows that he's a Lebanese-American consultant. He's a lobbyist, political advisor, and repeated sex offender. He's a liaison between U.S. politicians with the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia. And he's also a lobbyist for Blackwater. Now, Blackwater and its founder, Eric Prince, was a topic that came up when I interviewed Seven Seas, because he had that giant data map. And Eric Prince and Blackwater was part of the structure to funnel money through Colson Capital and into the pockets of all these social media influencers. And I think Charlie Kirk's on that list, too, by the way. Not assigning guilt. I'm just saying, like, there's a system there, right? And that's what Seven Seas is talking about. But Blackwater and Eric Prince is on this data map. And George Nader worked for Blackwater as a lobbyist. So Blackwater, if you recall, they also got in trouble in 2007 because their military contractors had killed 17 Iraqi civilians. And the employees got convicted. But then they were pardoned in 2020 by Donald Trump. Back in 2010, the WikiLeaks published the Iraq war documents, and it alleged pretty heavily that there was abuses going on by Blackwater in Iraq for slaughtering way more Iraq civilians. But let's get in on George Nader some more. Robert Mueller investigated him because there were suspicions that the UAE had been involved with 2016's U.S. president election. This is back during like the Russiagate stuff. And Nader had met with this George Nader guy, met with Trump Jr., Eric Prince from Blackwater, and a guy named Joel Zemel. Joel Zemel is this Israeli entrepreneur who has these companies for social media manipulation. He has companies called Wikistrat and Psy Group. And the reason they all met was supposedly, allegedly, to help Trump win the election. Now, the story allegedly is that in 2015, Zemel's Wikistrat company was running scenarios called Cyber Mercenaries Project on U.S. election interference using Russian cyberbots. And that's supposedly what he was telling Trump Jr. This is all in the Daily Beast, by the way. So after the election in December 2016, George Nader meets with some UAE officials, Jared Kushner, Michael Flynn, and Steve Bannon. And Nader proceeds to pay Zemel $2 million. In 2021, Nader pleads guilty to violating U.S. campaign financing, but not for this reason. It was because he, I guess, got caught funneling $3.5 million to Hillary Clinton. because he was trying to get cozy with her. So I have no clue whose team this guy is on. I just know that lobbyists are ruining this country. And one thing I do know is that he's had way too many run-ins with children and SA. I'm gonna read you from Wikipedia. George Nader has had several run-ins with the law over the years related to SA of children. He was convicted in the 1990s of transporting CP and imprisoned in 2003 for SAing 10 boys in the Czech Republic. He pled guilty in 2020 to flying a 14-year-old boy from Europe to the U.S. for sex and transporting CP depicting child SA and bestiality. And his wiki page, if you go dig deeper into it, 1985, he has CP, gets engaged in SA. The court throws it out over an invalid search warrant. 1991, he gets a federal case in Virginia, gets 6 months sentence for CP. 2003, convicted of SA in Prague of 10 boys, does 1 year in prison. 2018, FBI Mueller questions him about this, you know, Russiagate stuff. They find more CP on his phone, gets arrested for CP and bestiality. 2019, charged with trafficking a 14-year-old Czech boy from Europe to U.S. 2020, he pleads guilty to a bunch of stuff. Charges on CP, trafficking the boy, gets a 10-year sentence, gets reduced to 5 years after cooperating with Mueller's investigation, and gets out in February 2025 and just leaves America. And his wiki page goes on and on. He was involved with all kinds of stuff. He helped free American hostages in Lebanon with George H.W. Bush. But, you know, anyway, this George Nader thing is, I'm sure this is the tip of an iceberg. We don't have time for all that right now, though. But we brought him up at the beginning of this is because Dershowitz was trying to get Trump to commute Nader's sentence. And in Trump's defense, he apparently did not do that. So, you know, point for Team MAGA today. All right. Page 129, a fake article in that magazine titled, in the Vanity Unfair magazine, titled, "Who Was That Man with Epstein?" And a typed note that says, "What was he doing flying to Africa with an obscure former politician from Hope, Arkansas," which is Bill Clinton, that's where he's from, and it goes on to say he was a Rhodes Scholar, so obviously Clinton, right? But the article is asking why Epstein, who can hang out with anyone in the world, would hang out with some guy from Texas, from Arkansas. Quote, "We all know how easy it is to get a Rhodes if you're from Arkansas. There must be something else. Vanity Unfair decided to snoop around. The obscure politician reluctantly agreed to an interview on the condition it was off record. This is what he told us." Then nothing. Then it's blank. Did they take the page out? It doesn't say redacted. It's just out. It's just gone. It seems like it's a joke with a little bit of intimidation. Like maybe Clinton knew something about Epstein and he told them. And that's what this is like, to make him sweat a little bit. And the allegation here of him having a Rhodes Scholar means like he did something for somebody. That's how he got from Hope, Arkansas to a Rhodes Scholar to the U.S. president. And the squirrely part of all this is, you know, when they say there must be something else, right? Implying that there's a reason he's in the position. Is this related to this Clinton body count stuff? Is he some killer? You know, in this book, there's all these fantasies of violence and murder. I mean, maybe, right? Clinton, obviously, a frequent flyer on the Lolita Express. Ooh, lots of stuff going on there. Which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Clintons are supposed to testify at a deposition, I think, this week or next week. Page 130, cartoon of two guys, and one says, "I've come to the conclusion that I should be thinking less about money and more about naked women and biomathematical research." Implying the successes of Epstein, which surely isn't from his mathematics. Page 131, a guy named Bill Elkis writes about how the women in Iowa look like hogs, shots fired at Iowa. I'm sorry. I'm sure the women in Iowa don't look like hogs. But when Jeff came out there, he still managed to hook up with some hot blonde, and Bill Elkis thinks maybe he arranged it like an escort. Now, if you dig into this guy, Business Insider claims that this William Elkis, he's like some prominent Democratic donor, right? And he founded a venture capital firm called Clearstone. If you go to Clearstone's webpage, you'll see a congratulations to our founders list that includes Peter Thiel and Elon Musk. And Elkis addressed this part of the birthday book already and said, and I quote, or this is on Business Insider. It says this. In an email on Tuesday, Elkis told Business Insider the event he recalled in the birthday letter was, quote, long before any articles ever came out about Epstein, good or bad. And that the reference to girls and hogs jokingly cited an old folk saying. I don't know what old folk saying that is. Clearstone and Elkis were tied in with Thiel and Musk because they were an early startup funding for PayPal. And FreeBeacon.com claims that he was also donating to the Natural Law Party. That's a party that uses transcendental meditation to solve political global problems. Page 135, a letter from a guy named Nick that details how there are so many fun stories, it's really hard to choose one. And it lists off some, it's like, you know, there was the time we inspected the Royal School girls' dorms. There was the time we were trying to get redacted, where some woman's husband out of the way in Manila. But Nick settles in on one story in London when they were with some people. One of the names is redacted. I had to move over to my screenshot. I was like, wait a minute, why did my notes end? They didn't. This is what it says on the letter. Somehow Toto, a guy named Toto, got it into his head that redacted was a call girl that Doggy had fixed up for him. After dinner, we all went off to Tramps and Toto, and Doggy got into the back of Doggy's car with redacted sitting between them. Toto, grinning happily at the old man, reached down and pulled redacted's skirt up to her panties and put his hands on her pussy. The old man, smiling sweetly, leaned over, stuffed his hands into her pants so that Toto found his fingers playing with Doggy's. Suddenly, the awful truth sunk in, but Toto was too shocked to remove his hand, so they drove to Tramps with both of them still trapped in redacted's knickers. All my love and a very, very happy birthday with many more years to come in the future than there are years behind you, Nick. Dude, what's wrong with these people, right? Then we got page 147. Nathan types a letter, which kind of more talk about this at lifestyle of Epstein, all right? This is what it says. Another version was silly and salacious since your approach to life has so much of each of these things. A few years ago, somebody at a party asked me, does Jeffrey Epstein manage your money? I replied, no, but he advises me on lifestyle. The guy's eyes bugged out of his head and he said, really? Alas, I am ill-prepared to comment on your lifestyle in any detail since I am sadly so far behind that it would be talking about things I know little of. Yet another approach was to comment on our shared interests in science and exploration, but again, it seemed lacking. So in the end, I wound up with this silly excuse for a missive, neither profound nor funny, but I've included a few photos that I took on my recent trip to Africa. They seem more appropriate than anything that I could put into words. Now, a couple of things. It makes me think of Bill Gates. Like, that sounds almost like Bill Gates. Remember, Bill Gates was like, oh, he's got quite the lifestyle. I just don't know if it's for me or whatever he said. But then the images proceed to show a bunch of animals having sex and giant zebra hogs and all kinds of stuff. Page 154. A guy named Joel sent some cut-up images of a jet and some women. Kind of lazy, Joel. Come on now. Page 155, and this is the image we all saw going around on the socials and the news. It's Jeffrey grooming. It's drawn in crayon of Jeffrey grooming young girls on the beach in 1983, like little girls, like, I don't know, 10. Then in 2003, 20 years later, they're rubbing him down on the beach, and one is even doing oral. And she has initials on her butt that say J-E. Which reminds me of that branding stuff from Nexium, if you recall. He was having... Keith Rainier was having the cult members brand his initials on them near their privates. Now, people are claiming with this crayon drawing that in the background, that building is Mar-a-Lago. And I looked at them. I can't tell if this is the mansion from the beginning of the book that I presume is Jeffrey Epstein's mansion. I can't tell if it's Mar-a-Lago. It doesn't really look like either one. It's kind of in the stylings of both, but it's not specifically either one. So I don't know. Like, to me, like, is that Mar-a-Lago? I don't know that. I don't know why they think they know that. But, you know, they spent a lot of time together, so maybe. Page 156, and this might be one of the most shocking stories, right? And it's Epstein holding a check, a fake check written to him for $22,500 written to him from Donald Trump. And it's clearly like a parody. It's a joke. Whatever the inside joke is, I don't know. But it says this. It says, Jeffrey showing early talents with money and women sells, quote, fully depreciated, redacted, to Donald Trump for $22,500. Showed early people skills, too. Even though I handed the deal, I didn't get any of the money on the girl. And I don't know what we're talking about here. This is a very strange one. The check, I mean, the rules of a check are the person who writes the check signs it. And in that location, it has Donald Trump's signature. But in the script, it says that Epstein was selling a woman to Donald Trump. Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Sorry, I had to walk through the logic in my own stupid brain. So, yeah, so the claim is that Epstein sold a woman fully depreciated, whatever that means. I mean, you can guess what that means, to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump wrote him a check. So there's an inside joke there of Donald Trump paying Epstein $22,000 for a woman after Epstein was done with her, right? And the name of the woman being sold is redacted. We don't know who that is. And the guy standing with Epstein is a guy named Joel Paschal, is what I've read online, allegedly, some real estate developer. But there's a slew of theories about how this is a covert reference to Melania Trump. Who knows? The press asked the White House press secretary about this exact thing. And her response was to say, well, that's not Donald's signature. Yeah, no kidding. It's some kind of weird joke between them about Epstein selling a depreciated girl. The check isn't real. We know that. But we're not getting any straight answers, which is very frustrating to me, right? And then also, previously, if you recall in the news, Donald said that he had a falling out with Epstein, not because of him realizing that Epstein was a predator, but because Epstein stole one of his girls from him, Virginia Giuffre, who died not too long ago. I mean, anyway, I keep my opinions to myself. Page 165, the infamous Donald Trump letter with his signature and the drawing of a female body. And you'll notice that the breasts are drawn very small. When men cartoonishly draw women, it's with giant boobs. And you'll notice these are very tiny. These are like the boobs of a child. Not a woman. Yet and still, somehow the creepiest part of this is the text. And it says this. Voiceover, there must be more to life than having everything. Donald, yes, there is, but I won't tell you what it is. Jeffrey, nor will I, since I also know what it is. Donald, we have certain things in common, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, yes, we do, come to think of it. Donald, enigmas never age. Enigmas never age, have you noticed that? Jeffrey, as a matter of fact, it was clear to me the last time I saw you. Donald, a pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday, and may every day be another wonderful secret. And then it's signed by Donald Trump in the location of the pubic hair. Fellows, what are we talking about? What's the mystery of life here? What's this enigma that you guys both know about that's worth more than having anything? What's worth more than having anything is living forever. That's always the fantasy of these elites. Are they talking? Is this coded language for adrenochrome? That's what I'm saying. Is that what this is? That's what I'm suggesting. Some kind of life extension, shunamatism, abusing girls for pleasure. I mean, what is this? Why wouldn't enigmas age, right? They're talking about ages of things. Like they're, what are they, locked in on a particular age? I don't know. And previously in the book, people called Jeffrey Epstein an enigma. It must be like some thing he liked to say. It's also strange. And of course, Donald says this is all fake. The whole thing's fake. The It's a Democratic hoax. He never signed this thing. He's never drawn anything in his life. So, I mean, I guess the clear answer is that the Democrats back in 2003 faked, signed his name, put it in this book, got it bound so that 22 years later they can run a smear campaign. I guess I don't know. That's their theory. That's what he says. I don't know. Page 167. There's some tit prints of a woman's breast pressed into the ink. Again, just like pervy stuff, right? Page 169, also creepy, a redacted name, which I suggest we find out on the next page is Stone or Shane. I can't tell. And they have an image of a globe with a thing that says, shift stereotypes. Girls like glitter and boys like homemade something. I can't read it. And then a recipe for chocolate chip cookies. And it's giving on full pizza emails right now. Page 170, in the same font and signature as the page 169, which is page 169 is redacted, and it just says XO redacted, and then it says, what does it say, like 923 or 123 or something. And then on the next page, they have the same exact signature, same exact font, same styling. It says XO Shane, heart 123. So it's like they redacted, then they were like, whoops, didn't do it on the next page. But this one has like math formulas. It references Euclid, Pythagoras, which are all sort of common mathematics things, right? Nothing crazy there. But it also references Lewis Carroll's paradox. Yes, that Lewis Carroll, the pedophile who wrote Alice in Wonderland. Huh. Page 171, another sketch of boobs. Page 176, the Weekly World News with a fake headline, handwritten headlines, says, International Funny Man of History Revealed as Alien in Disguise. Another one says, strange beings from planet near distant star hatch sinister plot to corner choice real estate on Earth. Another one, ex-president taken in, probably Bill Clinton. Next one, they all exhibit curious aversion to food and wine. Everything I know about these creepers and Diddy and stuff is like they spike the food and the wine. This goes back to MK Ultra experimentations where they would spike punch bowls and all kinds of stuff. And then a bunch of science and math letters in the science section. Then in page 197, a redacted name of a girlfriend. This section is called Girlfriends. And it says, look at the drawing. Picture the scene without the audience. The girl sleeping on the floor, I believe, had shorter hair then. Does it bring you back memories? And it has the creepiest sketch of Jeff at a piano. Google search told me that he, in fact, played piano. So I presume it's him at the piano. And then there's a girl on the floor with a bunch of people sitting around watching these two. I mean, this is giving more like Eyes Wide Shut weirdo stuff. Page 203, more photos of breasts. A girl talking about how she remembered how, you know, Epstein instructed her to take her top off. Page 209, a redacted person writes, I can write about how I want to cut you into bird head pieces and chew them between my molars until I suck all the blood and juice out of you. No stew, just raw. Then at the end, it says, P.S. I do not share. Obviously, a reference to cannibalism. Could be a reference to adrenochrome. Again, like, this is the idea of these elites are trying to loose spiritual energy through eating human beings, basically. Page 212, things start finally getting occulted, right? And this is where we talked about the alien stories earlier. We know that Jeffrey Epstein had the ranch in New Mexico, the Zorro Ranch, which, you know, New Mexico is a hotbed for UFO activity. My suggestion is that he's got some kind of interest in aliens, extraterrestrials, okay? But on this page, he, you know, someone's writing typical happy birthday stuff. But on page 213, it gets interesting and they write things to change. And a lot of this is illegible. So I'm just going to read you the broken understanding that I could read. No more black cargo pants. No more deli. No more sweatpants. No more Howard Stern, I think. No more something. Or we'll put you on The Bachelor. A trip to the Silver Star for old time's sake. Now, my attention here goes to the Silver Star. Is it a bar or a restaurant? Maybe. Like, it could be that. But it could, and I told you you're going to have to stretch a little bit for this one. It could be referencing the Silver Star, which is Sirius. And this is taken from Aleister Crowley's Argentum Astrum, which means Silver Star, which is a sex magic order, right? Ritualistic sex things. No clue who it's from. It's all redacted. But my suggestion is that maybe he's involved with some of these ideas in order to channel extraterrestrials. We also talked about The Bachelor on here. Is The Bachelor referring to maybe the producer, Mark Burnett, who produced The Bachelor and The Apprentice for Trump? I don't know. Then we move on to the assistants section. One girl sends bikini photos of herself. They know what he likes, right? Page 226. Someone writes, "Before Jeffrey, I was a 22-year-old divorcee working as a hostess in a hotel restaurant. After Jeffrey, I've met Prince Andrew, President Clinton, Sultan of Brunei, Donald Trump, Antonio Vergilis, Naomi Campbell, Stephanie Seymour, Peter Brandt, Kevin Spacey, Chris Tucker, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, brilliant scientists, lawyers, and businessmen." Signed by? Redacted. Yeah, that's right, redacted. Now, the only names on that list I didn't really see before is Peter Brandt. I looked into him. That's Stephanie Seymour's husband since 1995. And he's also a childhood friend of Donald Trump. Recall that Stephanie Seymour came through Elite Model Management. And I think she was also in the November Rain Guns N' Roses video for fun measure. And that's basically it. That's basically the whole thing. The first document, at least, right? And the rest are nothing new, nothing really worth going through. The second document is called Request 2, and it's basically Epstein's last will and testament. Then the third document is Request 4. This is a non-prosecution agreement. I think this is the the sweetheart deal by Alexander Acosta that everyone always talks about. I'm not a lawyer. I don't speak this language. Then the fourth document, Request 8, and this is basically the unredacted black book that we've seen released, I mean, three times now. We covered this in March 2025 on a bonus episode with that white binder fiasco. The Epstein Files release, phase one. What happened to phase two? Phase two is, oh, this is fake. None of this is real. My bad. Where he scammed a bunch of MAGA influencers to look foolish, right? And they released information we already had. It was a redacted black book. And so now we get the unredacted version, which we already had been released, just not officially through the government. So in conclusion, this last week's been something else. We had multiple events since this birthday book was released that has already shifted our attention and focus. We had alien disclosure. I mean, NASA told us that they found evidence of life existing on Mars at some point. There was a video of a Hellfire missile shooting at a UFO, bounces off. There's a giant spacecraft headed towards us. I mean, it's a wild time that none of that hits the radar. And I know why. You know, everyone wants to talk about Charlie Kirk right now, right? And it's, for me, it's like too damn contentious, right? Too sensitive. I posted a video on my socials about how I'd read about this witch hex put on Charlie Kirk, right? But I took it down because almost immediately people were getting triggered because they thought I was like, I don't know, being mean to Charlie Kirk, being insensitive. And what happened was the part I think that they were triggered by was that I started the video basically saying like, Charlie Kirk has takes that I don't agree with, right? He pushes misogynistic messaging about women shouldn't have the freedoms to do what they do. They'd be happier if they were subjected to their husbands and they just stayed home and raised babies, right? And that, I mean, wasn't apparently sensitive enough, which is fine. Like, I actually agree with it. Like, this is a sensitive issue. That's why I took it down because I'm like, man, all right, fair enough. Nobody wants to, like, hear me talk about how I don't agree with a guy after he just got murdered. And I didn't think what I said was, like, out of line, but I can respect the people who liked this guy didn't want to hear that at this point, I guess. I don't know. It's fine. Like, it's not a big deal. Like I am empathic. I am sensitive to other people's feelings. I'm like, well, I'm not trying to come off like I'm raking this guy over the coals after he's dead. You know what I mean? But the point of the video was actually about how there was someone at Jezebel who paid a witch on Etsy to put a curse on Charlie Kirk back on the new moon of August 23rd. And even the article, which was published September 8th, 2 days before the shooting, the author of the article says that the witch told him it would be 2 to 3 weeks later that the peak power of that hex would culminate, which is exactly September 10th, right? And in fact, at the end of the article, the author writes, like, let's see how this hex works out. And my point was, in the video, what I said was, like, look, I agree with this idea that thoughts, prayers, and even witch hexes and curses are all able to influence our space and reality. We need to take these things seriously. Like, that's the whole thing that I'm always talking about, right? Because we're all connected on some level of consciousness. And that's why Christ says, treat others as you would want yourself treated. And we need to, like, chill. We need to be nice to each other, like, have a little more empathy, which ironically Charlie Kirk had said was like a problem, just like Elon Musk said. There's this weird narrative of like empathy being so awful, which I don't understand. And this is what I've been talking about for years now. This, how strange the world of conspiracy theories have gotten. That's why I had to rebrand my entire show partially, right? It got flooded by sort of like politically inspired newbies, you know. Because back in, to juxtapose what I'm saying here, back in 2012, the day that, I don't know how many, like 20 kids got slaughtered at a school in Connecticut, the SH place, right? Alex Jones literally went on a show that day to say, like, none of this is real. Those kids didn't die. These are crisis actors. That dad crying, he's a fake. He's a fraud. And proceeded to have his people harass these people whose children have been slaughtered and murdered for going to school, right? And it made a lot of people flinch back then. And that's why he got sued. Because he kept going at it for years. And it wasn't until after all these parents were like, dude, his people keep harassing me, that he finally got, I don't know if arrested or sued or whatever. And he said, look, okay, yeah, I'm not, I don't agree with anything I said already. And he took his story back. But I've always supported his free speech. He should be allowed to say all of these things. I don't care how unsavory it is. Everyone deserves the right for the freedom of speech. If he wants to say that those little kids didn't die and they didn't even exist and these parents are liars, I mean, I think that's rude. I think it's gross. But he's allowed to throw that idea out there. I mean, kind of, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where the law steps in and says, well, here's where he crossed the line. I don't understand it. I don't know. But I think it's pretty wild that he got sued and was had to pay more money than I think the lawsuit against the gun maker of the gun that actually killed the kids. Like, it is weird. Like, the whole case is weird, right? But my point is, Alex can say these kids who got shot and killed, their parents are fake and the kids didn't exist. Like, he can say that, which is pretty egregious, right? But I can't post a video where I start out by saying, like, hey, I disagree with Kirk's takes, and here's the story about the witch hex, right? Without, I mean, I get called all sorts of things. And so I'm saying is the conspiracy theorists are not the same people they used to be, right? But, you know, the newsflash, like, I disagree with Charlie Kirk most all of his takes for a variety of reasons. That's just not my vibe. It's not my thing. And all the things he was talking about promote a division. And these are the staples of a two-party system, a failed two-party system that we're never going to get out of until we can vote third party. And I think it's disgusting that he got slaughtered and shot and killed, and, you know, especially in front of like a crowd of people, and I allegedly, I guess his family was there. I don't know. I mean, that's far more disgusting than all of his takes that I disagree with. Absolutely. Right. Is it sad and horrific? Absolutely. Right. Is there a conspiracy involved? Probably, but I'm not going to touch it. I'm already called a Marxist by the far right alternative stream media, even though I exhaustively tell everyone I'm a moderate with a political affiliation on my voter card that says unaffiliated. But I will say this, right? I do want you to notice something. Is the alternative stream media, are they floating any of these theories that they always float when there's some kind of crazy high profile, you know, assassination? Are they talking about human sacrifices, ritual sacrifices, crisis actors, psyops? MK Ultra assassins, a coordinated event for a civil war in order to justify martial law? Is it distractions from the Epstein book? Is there a foreign country involvement? Do you see the video of the guy behind Kirk doing weird hand gestures? Do you see the old man screaming, shoot me, shoot me? Possibly to distract the authorities so that the shooter, the real shooter, could get away, who seemed like was quite professional. I mean, I don't know how, I'm not a gun guy, but like, I don't know how difficult that shot is, but he was able to do it and get away. And the default of the alternative stream media is to immediately say like, oh, it's leftist, right? Well, what, where's all the energy for all the complicated 5D chess moves of crisis actors and MK Ultra mind program? Like, all that stuff's out the window, which I find interesting, right? Because I've long contended that the conspiracy movement has been infiltrated through QAnon by the right. And this goes all the way back to the Birch Society. But the Red Pill Daddies I studied under my tutelage tells me that when you start going to this left-right paradigm, that is the psyop. That is the plan. That is how they manipulate you. And the hardcores on the extreme left and the extreme right, they're both trying to dismantle this country and being awful, right? And this kind of violence is not cool at all, obviously, right? I hate that I have to say this, but like, of course I'm going to say that. Especially because Charlie Kirk, his whole thing was free speech debating, which is great. Like, I support him entirely. I don't agree with his message. He did it the right way, though. And that's the point of our country, free speech, opinions, debating opinions. I didn't like him, but I support him. I support that idea. Don't, you know, do the right thing. Debate over these things. Don't be violent. And the way it went down, obviously, that shouldn't have happened. I felt, honest to God, my I feel terrible for his family. I mean, it's just brutal. I saw the video and I can't get out of my head. It's awful. I mean, this sort of violence is going to ruin this country. But, you know, people need to have their opinions. They need to be able to express them without fear of violence. And to bolster my point, look at this birthday book. It's got representation for people on the left and the right. You can't look at these politicians and be like, oh, this guy's the savior. He's going to save us. Like, they're just people. And most of them are untrustworthy at that. And I'm not saying be apathetic and don't be engaged in politics and don't vote. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm just saying it's important to know what's going on. Keep a level head. Maybe pay attention to the local elections where things are much less toxic. A lot less psyops going on there. It could be even more impactful anyway. And it's important not to put your faith into a person and put them on a godlike pedestal. That creeds, fanaticism. It breeds violence just like this. I mean, it's terrible, right? So in conclusion, more to come on these Epstein files, I'm sure. I highly doubt that the events of the last week are going to make all this go away. But hey, I've been surprised before. So thank you for supporting the show. Those of you that have been on the team, I appreciate you. Sticking around, especially if you disagree with me. Like, that's what's important about all this, is the ability to express opinions, disagree, present evidence, and that sort of thing. So thank you for your support. Until next time, stay positive. Try to stay positive, right? Things are tough. Okay, stay positive.